What Luke 11:11 says, you remember when Jesus was talking about this? Luke 11:11, he asked them, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You remember I asked you to bring up topics, questions, subjects that you'd like for me to address during the summer months. And today we're starting that. For the next 7 weeks, we're going to look at some very interesting things. But one of you asked about the goodness of God. What about the goodness of God? Well, if I asked you the question, is God all-powerful? You know, is God omnipotent? Is God all-powerful? Would you answer yes? All right, does God know everything? Is he omniscient? Knows everything? Would you answer yes? Would you say he's omnipresent? That is, he's everywhere. God is everywhere. You'd say yes. Can you prove it? No. No, you can't. Oh, you can give some rational arguments. You can give some very reasoned deductions. You can give some very good indicators and signs. But the fact that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere, you can't prove it. So how about this question? Is God good? Yes? No? If you say yes, he's good, can you prove it? Same answer. No, you can't. But it's a very important question. What if this all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere God, what if he is malevolent? That is, what if he's bad? What if he's out to get us? Isn't that scary? Doesn't that shake you up? What if this God who's so powerful is indifferent? He just could care less about you or me. And what you do, all right, whatever, I don't care. But what if this God, who is everywhere and all-powerful and all-knowing, is good? What if he is benevolent? What if he is kind and compassionate and caring? Oh, boy, that makes you feel really good. And that gives you a peace throughout all of life that you just can't value or estimate. Very important question. Last week, a man walked into our church. This really happened. A man walked into our church, and he had a great big pistol strapped to his side. I mean, that was a big gun. I didn't ask if it was a 9mm or a 44 or whatever. If this man had been a total stranger, my blood pressure would have shot up, and I probably would have been looking around for some place to hide. But since this was a good man and a state trooper and a good friend of mine, do you think I was worried? I didn't owe him money, so no, I didn't worry about it a single bit. But Ken Paul is a good man, okay? So a big gun in the hands of Ken Paul, I don't worry about it. Hey, did y'all hear that France has nuclear weapons? France has nuclear missiles. Is that alarming? No, France doesn't have any intention of using it. France is a good country, a peaceful country. But Iran, if Iran or North Korea gets nuclear weapons, that's alarming. You see, folks, it's not the power that's the important thing. It's the intention or the will and the character of the person who has the power. And that's certainly true about our God. Now, You might wonder right off the bat, is it okay to question the goodness of God? Can you ask that question? Short answer, yeah, you can. Do you have reason to ask that question? Short answer, yep, you sure do. You've got good reason to ask that question and to maybe even doubt it. Actually, people have been asking this question for a long, long time. Actually, this question comes up in the Bible. God, are you really good? Is God good or is God not so good? Have you ever read the book of Habakkuk? Habakkuk is one of those little short prophets toward the end of the Old Testament. Do you know how Habakkuk begins his little book? With a complaint. Habakkuk walks up to God and says, hey, wait a minute. You got a minute? I got some questions. And what does he say? He says, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up more those who are more righteous than themselves? That's industrial strength complaint. Hey, God, are you good or are you bad? Now, God goes on to explain to Habakkuk why he is allowing the Babylonians to overrun their country and destroy things and wreak havoc among the people of Israel. He does try to explain that there is a greater good that he is bringing about by letting this happen. Does that mean that God allows all things and all bad things and all disasters to happen like that? Does he cause all the bad things that are happening in the world? No. You might say, heck no. Just because he was allowing evil in this one instance doesn't mean he's necessarily doing it all the time or even often. You know who Tony Blair is? Tony Blair was the Prime Minister of England for 10 years. He recently converted from Anglican church to Catholic church because that was where his convictions lie. He's a very deeply religious man. He is busy in the world trying to make peace and bring about peace in the world. Very often, even as a religious man, Tony Blair is asked about the bad stuff that happens in the world today and how evil things are. And he very simply says, don't confuse the evil of mankind with the goodness of God. That says so much. Don't confuse the evil of mankind with the goodness of God. And Blair is right. When we look at the selfish tyrants in Myanmar, Burma, you know what they're doing to their people, or the Janjaweed warriors who are killing people in Darfur, right and left, Darfur, messing that up so bad. And the people of North Korea who are pressed so very, very bad by their dictators and their rulers, making them suffer so much, don't blame God for that stuff, okay? But you might wonder, would a good God allow such evil to be perpetrated in the world? Yes, he sure would. Or didn't you read the first chapters of the book of Genesis where it said God created the world, and then he let it go? God created people, and then he took his hands off and said, you're in control. This is yours. It's up to you. Once God created us and our freedom, we have free moral choices. We have freedom to make decisions for ourselves. And they often don't turn out the way God wants them to. They don't turn out good. They turn out very, very bad. Actually, God had to make things this way. He had to allow the possibility for evil. Because if there is no evil, is there anything such thing as good? Can't be. If there's no evil, there cannot be good. Any more than how can you have left if you don't have right? How can you have in unless you have an out? What sense is up if you don't have down? God made this reality a world of polarities, and we live within those polarities. And the root of all what we call bad and evil can always be traced back to whose experience? God's or ours? Okay, then you say, wait a minute. What about the bad stuff that happens in the world that people didn't create, you know? What about the cyclone that slams into Burma and kills, 100,000 people? And what about the tsunami in Indonesia that destroyed all those folks and, 200,000 lives lost in that disaster? Or what about the earthquake that just hit Japan? Japan or China before that and kills about 80,000 people. Mankind doesn't control tsunamis and earthquakes and tornadoes and stuff like that. Doesn't God get credit for that? Well, actually, go back to the verses of the Bible at the beginning there, and he let go not only of people, he let go of his creation. So he's not in the business of scheduling earthquakes and tsunamis and all those kind of stuff. He can if he wants to. He can if he wants to, but whether he wants to or not, we don't know. It's a problem to think about. And there are many times you have thought about it. You've thought about it when terrible things happened, especially to good people. And you've asked why. Why did my loved one get killed in a car wreck? Why did the baby die? Why did that good man lose everything he owned? He was a good man. Why? Is God good or is God not good? Read the book of Job and you find a man who's wrestling with that very question. The book of Job is a great one for that as well. Oh yeah, we've got many reasons to question God, and they are valid reasons. And we'll always have these questions. And who says God is good anyway? Good is an adjective. Good is a qualifier. Good is a value judgment word, isn't it? If you run across it pops up again in the very first chapters of the Bible. At each stage in which God created the world, he stood back and looked at what he'd done. He created light. He stepped back and he said, you know, that's good. And then God created the heavens and the earth, and he looked back and he said, hey man, that's good. Every step of the way, and when he finished the process, he looked at the whole thing and he said, now this is very good. Now, what people have done with his creation, oh, that's another whole story, and that's what a lot of the Bible is about, and that's what we're worried about today. A lot of what we do with this good world is bad, and we destroy it, and harm it, and twist it. But the Bible is full of assertions that God is good. You ever watch the Star Wars movies? They've been around a long time. And what's the big thing in the Star Wars movie? The Force. May the Force be with you. And what is one feature of the Force? The Force has a good side, and then there is the dark side of the Force. Darth Vader is on the dark side of the Force. It's not real well defined in there, but if you apply that to God, who's everywhere and all-powerful and so forth, does he have a dark side? In 1 John, in those letters there, it says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Got that? No darkness. And when we, in the Revelation, at the end of the Bible, When everything's all together, we don't even need a sun and a moon anymore because God is light for everywhere, everything, all the time. It's really amazing. So the dark side of the Force does not exist with God. Read the Psalms and count how many times it says God is good. Bob read Psalm 103 for us a little while ago. It's just one example of many. If I were to try to read all the scriptures in the Bible that says God is good, God is good, God is good, we'd be here all day and into tomorrow. What's the epitome of the Bible? The high point? Jesus Christ saying, hey, I know God. I'm his son, and I've spent some time with him. And let me tell you about this God. All the stuff Jesus said and all the stuff Jesus did, did he ever say God is bad? Every story he told, every example he gave, every illustration, he says, no, he's really compassionate, kind, and caring, a much bigger way than you guys suspect. What did he say here in Luke 11:11? He's got a bunch of guys standing around him, a bunch of men, and he says, okay, I got a point to make here, guys. If you guys have a son, and this son asks you for a fish, would you give him a snake? They had a lot of poisonous snakes around Israel in that time. Would I give him a snake? Well, no, of course I wouldn't give him a snake. Okay, got another question. If your son asked you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Jesus, what, do I look like a jerk? I mean, come on. Why do you ask these kind of questions? Well, I was just wondering. Because if you imperfect, sinful human beings, know how to give good things to your children, how much more do you think your heavenly Father, who's perfect and sinless, he knows how to give you good things? What things? Good things, like the Holy Spirit and a lot of other good things. So don't be snotty and smart aleck and accuse God of being bad. No matter how many Hitlers come along, no matter how many bad disasters kill millions of people, God isn't in the business of inflicting pain on people. God is good. You mean God never lets bad things happen? Oh no, being the good father that he does, he lets that happen all the time. Why? What does Hebrews 12:6 say? For those whom the Lord loves, he also disciplines. A lot of what we have happen in our lives is discipline. And that even is part of the freedom that our God gives us because he loves us so much. If I were to open the floor today and ask for sharing, I dare say that you fathers could say, you know, there were plenty of times I knew what was best for my child. I knew what was best for my son or daughter. I told them what to do, and I told them what not to do, but they didn't listen to me. And they went ahead and did it anyway. And why did you let them do that? Didn't you love them? Yeah, I loved them enough to let them make their own mistakes. I loved them enough to let them suffer for their choices. How are they going to learn otherwise? A good father disciplines, even in that freedom to suffer. And I dare say that many of you could talk about your old man the same way. And you say, man, when I was growing up, my dad told me there were some things that he told me I couldn't do. And boy, it made me mad. And there was things he made me do, a whole bunch of other stuff. And I thought he was a dummy. I thought he didn't know what he was doing. And I thought he was just being mean, having all these rules and regulations. But a funny thing happens, and time goes on, and you look back, and a lot of us say, man, I had a good dad. My dad made me toe the line. My dad taught me some stuff I never would have learned on my own. You know, he let me struggle through some stuff and mess up and suffer. Man, I had a great dad because he loved me enough to discipline me. God wants you to be a full, wise, capable, thinking, moral, upright human being. So he disciplines you. And he doesn't leave you alone. It may not seem like it now. It may seem like you're going through plenty of pain or problems or distresses, and it doesn't feel too good. And it makes you question the goodness of God. But give it some time, and you just might look back and see God knows what he's doing. And God is good. You might die and go to heaven before you see it. But it's true. God is good. It's okay to doubt the goodness of God. That's a way of taking it seriously. But God is good. Hang on to that. Don't ever stop believing it, even during the most troubling difficulties and circumstances. And if you're suffering today, and if you're hurting very, very badly, the bottom line of it is still, God is good. Say it with me, would you please? God is good. God is good. God is good. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, if we've lost sight of this, please tap us on the shoulder and remind us that your goodness is perfect. Our understanding is not. Let it be, Father, that we can exercise our faith and our trust in you. Whatever we're going through now, whatever difficulties we're facing, you're much bigger than anything at all. We trust you, Lord, and we're trying to love you back. In Jesus' name, amen.